Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and the sky is blue and the sun's out, and some of the plants are beginning to bud. It's a beautiful time of the year. And, of course, we're hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish as we talk about some of the things that have gone on in Israel in the past, some of the strange murders over there. And, of course, Barry has the advantage of having been an investigative journalist and having quite a reputation, you know, being reliable. And so people come and tell him stories. And many times people want to get stories out, but they're just incapable of getting them out. And so, well, that's going to be one of the stories you're going to hear today. Truly an amazing story. Fortunately, Barry was forced to leave Israel because of threats on his life, and he's here in the United States. And, of course, Israel's loss is our gain, because we have Barry with us on at least 3 hours, three different programs every week, and have an opportunity to hear these stories that he has amassed through the years. Most of them are in his books and available from lulu.com, but those that are not, why, we get right here. But anyway, Barry, thank you so much for being with us, and you pick up the story from there.
Well, I'm going to do it a little differently. Usually I start with the week's events, and this is, of course, it may not be a war, it may not be an all-out war, but Israel is at war. It had a bad week. Ashkelon was hit with Soviet Grad missiles. Ashkelon is Israel's fourth biggest city. It's about 15 miles from the Gaza Strip. And you're talking about a city that always thought it was immune somehow from war. It's not. And we're going to find out that Tel Aviv is also not immune from war. But I'm not going to discuss that yet. I'm going to discuss a murder first. And it's a murder that tells a lot about why Israel is in such dire straits. And that's the murder of Ofer Chaza. Now, I assume a lot of people know who Ofer Chaza is. She was Israel's reigning chanteuse. She was a disco star from 1985 until her death in the year 2000. She was Israel's reigning international star. And she died of AIDS, they told us. She didn't. She was murdered. And there was a reason for the murder. But let's just keep in mind, she was a Yemenite singer. She became famous for doing Yemenite songs in a disco fashion. And by the way, keep it in mind, that should not have made anyone famous. You can't think of a worse formula for success than doing Yemenite songs disco. But she did. And the reason for her success, ultimately, we'll get to it, is Shimon Peres. But the story is so confused, you just have to do it in order. How she died. Well, in the year 2000, about 2 weeks before she succumbed, supposedly she checked into the hospital with AIDS. Now, where would she get AIDS? This was a very modest, unpromiscuous Yemenite woman who, where would she get it from? Now, the key of the issue is that she made a movie in 1997 that was released in 1999 about the issue of the disappeared Yemenite children.
All right, and when we get back, Barry, you're going to have to explain to us listeners why the disappearance of the Yemenite children is really so very, very important. And it's a key, really, to understanding so many of the things that have happened, not only in Israel, but right here in the United States. We'll be right back.
Now, Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the great Genesis Communications Network, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Barry Shamish, and Barry was talking about the movie that had been produced about the Yemeni children. Well, Barry, would you like to explain the story of the Yemeni children, why this was important, and why Opa had wanted to make this movie, why this was so important to her, and of course, then why this led to her death? Go ahead.
Well, keep in mind that Orpah Kazan was a star in Israel. Any movie she acted in would have been successful. That's a given. But she hired as producer Arnon, excuse me, I have to sneeze, it's fine, Arnon Tzedek. Now, Arnon Tzedek was the last Israeli nominated for an Academy Award. He directed Beyond the Walls. In other words, this was a very powerful, in Israel, star movie. With Tzedek and Chaza, it was guaranteed to be a box office success, whatever that means in Israel. But it didn't become a box office success because it was only shown once. It was shown at the Tel Aviv Cinematheque, and it closed that night, never to be shown publicly again, not on TV, not the movie theaters. It was buried. Now, the movie, it was not a great movie by American standards. It was an awful movie. It was, well, Orpah Kazan paid for the movie. She paid $1.5 million, which in Israel is very big money to make a movie. In America, it's like a day's production. Nonetheless, this movie had Orfa Kazaa playing a Yemenite woman who meets Arnon Stadok, who is a homicide detective, and eventually she proves that he's her actual brother, and they were separated at birth, and there was kidnappings. The point is, she broke open. She was trying to break open the lid of silence over the disappearance of 4,500 Yemenite infants and toddlers in the early 1950s. Now, what I'm going to say, I'll later prove through vast experience that I didn't even invite, but it happened. The children, some were adopted. Most Israelis think all were adopted.
No, but Barry, I think that these were children who were actually taken away under one guise or another from their parents and simply disappeared.
Well, they were told that they had a cold or they had strep throat, it doesn't matter what. They were taken from their classrooms to a hospital, and then the parents were told they were dead. Perfectly healthy children. Later on, and during the 1990s, the graves of the children were disinterred, and there were no bones in them. It's a very long, complicated story, but the fact is these children are used in atomic experiments in the United States. They were guinea pigs.
And, of course, I think it's so important that people understand it was about that time that they were here in the United States using children from orphanages, using children who are mentally defective in institutions in the United States and feeding them plutonium and other radioactive materials. And they killed a lot of those children. And CBS did a documentary on this. You can probably find it up on 60 Minutes. And there's a book called The Plutonium Files. There's a lot of material on the Internet. They experimented not only with the American children. They experimented, and these Yemenite children were sent from Israel to the United States to be killed, and many of them were killed.
All of them were killed. None of them survived these experiments. Now keep in mind that the head of the Atomic Energy Commission in Israel from 48 right through the 50s was Shimon Peres. And that, by the way, is incredibly relevant, and we'll get to that shortly. But while she was making the movie, Orfa Kazaa was suddenly courted. A man named Doron Ashkenazi was wooing her. Well, she turned him down. She didn't want to marry Doron Ashkenazi. He was a slime ball. Nonetheless, a lot of pressure was put on her family. In 1997, the family Yenta, the matchmaker, was given a brand new $20,000 kitchen to press Orfa to look at her suitor seriously. She was 40 then. She needed a husband. She was running out of time to have children. Fame got in the way, and her family was bought off. Doron Ashkenazi was not the person who bought her off. Nonetheless, she turned him down time after time. In the end, she married him. She married him in 1999 as the movie came out. Now, Orfa Kazaa, in the year 2000, February, showed up in a hospital. Suddenly, she had AIDS. 13 days later, she was dead. As soon as she showed up in the hospital, Shimon Peres phoned the hospital and to check how she was. Keep that in mind. Personally, when she died, Shimon Peres gave the eulogy at her funeral. And you got to read it. It's Peres' talk at its worst. Orfa taught the nation of Israel to sing and made us a nation of song. Why was he so interested in Orfa Kazaa? We'll get to that, by the way. I'm slowly creeping along to that. While they were married, Doron Ashkenazi proved himself a cad. He forced her to move from her home in Yehud, where the Yemenite children movement was in full swing. She moved to Herzliya. Supposedly, he got her to change her will. Supposedly, she gave all her property and money to Doron Ashkenazi. This was a lawsuit that was fought till his last days, because Doron Ashkenazi, Orfa Kazaa's husband, 14 months after she died of an overdose of crystalline meth. Doron Ashkenazi died of a drug overdose. And guess what? The woman who supposedly injected him died a month later as well. You've got a murderama going on. Now, when Ofakaza died, everyone thought that Doron Ashkenazi gave her AIDS, which he didn't, by the way. But there was a tremendous amount of public pressure on Doron Ashkenazi, who supposedly gave her AIDS. Now, just to let you know, this is a complicated story. After Ashkenazi died, the newspaper Haaretz and others finally exposed that Ofakaza had an affair with a German bisexual film director, and he gave her the AIDS. Nonsense. Of course, I've done this show with you, how the Israeli media always finds sexual peccadilloes when they kill someone. When the establishment kills someone, they make up sexual peccadilloes. This didn't happen. But Doron Ashkenazi knew he didn't have AIDS, and he was going to prove it. And he was going to blow the lid off the murder of Ofakaza by proving this. And he had to be shut up. But he was murdered on Passover evening, the night of the first Seder, or commemorative meal, when all of Israel is with their families. He decided to stay home, supposedly, and take crystal meth. His car was found in South Tel Aviv, about 10 miles from where he died in Herzliya. No one can explain that to this day. He was apparently kidnapped, pumped full of something, and he died. And the woman who pumped him full of this stuff on the evening of Passover also died about a month later. This couldn't happen. This is not how murders happen. This is not how Ofakaza's life was. And I started investigating simply because you can sniff a murder, you can smell a murder. When things don't add up, you can smell it. And I knew right away that Ofakaza's AIDS was a very, very wrong diagnosis. And lo and behold, I was right. Because the Haza family, who was, by the way, fighting Doron Ashkenazi over a will that was never found, had a lawyer named Rami Tzuberi. Rami Tzuberi appeared on Israeli television, and he had prescriptions. And the prescriptions given to Ofakaza would never have cured AIDS. They were poisoned. And he demanded she be interred to prove she didn't die of AIDS. And by the way, when this happened, a lot of people remembered, I don't know how many people, but I wrote the book and it came out in the Hebrew and English. A lot of people remembered that I said she did not die of AIDS. She was poisoned to death because she was exposing the horrible, horrible crime of Shimon Peres and David Ben-Gurion and the whole gang of labor Zionists. And by the way, there is good Zionism. Labor is not it. What they were doing to the Yemeni children in the 1950s, Ofakaza was exposing in the 1990s. Doron Ashkenazi was sent to kill her. I hope I made that plain. He was a hitman.
All right, but I think you're going to have to tell the people how you know he was a hitman, because I've heard this story before.
We're creeping along. This is not an easy story to tell, and to keep any logic in this without losing your listeners is a big challenge. Let me start with the fact that Ofakaza was suddenly made a symbol of the peace movement in Israel. Do you remember the song, oh my goodness, you are the one, we are the people, we are the one, what's it called, to feed the African children, the rock and roll song, well, it doesn't matter right now.
Hold that thought, Barry, because we're going to have to go to a break, and when we get back, maybe you'll remember, and if not, it isn't that important.
I'll remember.
Hold on.
the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Dr. Stan, and our guest Barry Shamish is telling us the story of the Yemenite children. And if you've never heard the story, you can go up on the internet and Google in Yemenite children or, radiation experiments, and you'll find out about the 4,500 children who were actually kidnapped over in Israel and sent to the United States to be used in these experimental programs. Now, they cannot allow the American people to understand that any more than they can allow them to understand that they've experimented on children here in the United States and killed many of them. intentionally and purposely because they just wanted to see what the radiation would do. But nobody is ever held responsible. They've experimented on our servicemen, hundreds of thousands of them. That's covering the Rockefeller Committee report, study of the radiation experiments on children here, in the plutonium files. It's a book, Plutonium Files. You can still get it on the Internet. Understand the degree of evil we're up against. But, of course, here is a very, very prominent woman, a very prominent singer in Israel, who is suddenly beginning to try to bring out the truth, and this cannot be allowed. So it would embarrass the people in Israel. It would certainly embarrass the people here in the United States who work very closely with the evil people who run the Israeli government. So you pick up the story, Barry.
Yeah, the song was We Are the World. And there's Ofer Kaza and John Lennon. And, well, she was turned into a symbol of peace by Shimon Peres. She sang at the signing of the Oslo Accords in November of 93. There's Ofer Kaza. She sang at the Nobel Prize, the Peace Prize Accords, when Shimon Peres bribed his way to a Nobel Peace Prize. What is she doing with Peres? Why is he giving her the eulogy? Why is he phoning the hospital to ask how she is? All of these questions should have been obvious, but they weren't to anyone apparently but me. And then I got the answer. And this is what I believe you were hinting that I should get to while I still have time, and I am now. After her death, and I started reporting the death of Doron Ashkenazi and how nothing made sense, I received from her cousin, his name was Meir Meshulam, the same as, well, you don't know this, the Rabbi Uzi Meshulam was leading the Yemenite children's, well, the movement to get the truth out. He went to jail in 97. He came out lobotomized in 99. He asked me to be the spokesman for his movement to get to the truth of the Yemenite children. I met him in prison, and he told me the story. And way back then, by the way, I didn't know if I believed it or not. When I wrote, I said, he said this, I don't stand by it. He claims, well, I asked him, why don't you just unite the biological parents with their children and put an end to this movement the way it should be put an end to? And he had already done that with the mother and daughter, the Omasi mother and daughter combination, whatever, what do you call a mother and daughter, whatever. Margalit Omasi was the mother. I met them both. They looked like twins. They were both rotund people with the exact same face. And lo and behold, that was about the last that he put together. And he told me, he said, he turned up the music. He knew where the room was being bugged. We were in a cell deep into the prison. He asked me to be spokesman for his movement because of the success I had with Rabin. He was very impressed with me. He blasted his radio tape with Hasidic music, and he said, "I'm not gonna tell anything until the parents die." He said there were maybe 500 adoptions. He said the vast majority of the children were taken to America and died cruel deaths in atomic experiments, and he said the leader of the Israeli Atomic Commission was Shimon Peres. This was the first time I ever heard this, and that's why they lobotomized him. That's why they shot up his house. I was in his house. I saw the bullet holes. There were 60 bullet holes inside his house from the Israeli army and police. They killed one of his congregants, 18-year-old kid. They killed him. This is what happened to the leadership. And his, well, what can I tell you? Mayor Meshulam is a distant relative of Uzi Meshulam, and he is a close relative of Ofer Kaza. He phoned me up and said, we have to meet. You're on the right track, but you don't have the whole story.
And when we get back, you're going to get the rest of the story of this strange murder.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
In this corner, the vicious digestive overload, featuring bloating, gas, and constipation. And in this corner, the popular formula for better bathroom habits, Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse. And the fight is underway. I have to say, Pat, digestive overload looks much bigger than usual in tonight's match.
It makes sense. Toxic matter builds up in our bodies from the foods we eat. No wonder we get so sick and tired.
Oh, did you see that? Aloe Cleanse knocks digestive overload out.
Well, Aloe Cleanse is natural. It flushes the entire system smoothly. Digestive overload didn't have a chance.
The winner, by a knockout, Aloe Cleanse.
Don't lose the fight against digestive overload. Cleanse the body to remove the buildup of toxins. To try Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse formula risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. You'll look trimmer, feel better, and have more energy. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan back here with Barry Shamish. And before we get on to the rest of the story, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books, and how they can get your DVDs.
Well, the story of Orphocausis in my book, Ship Tides, Sea, Labor, Zionism, and the Holocaust, you go to Lulu, www.lulu.com. In the right-hand corner, it says search, write my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, that's Shamish, and you'll get to the book and the details. My website is officially the BarryChalmersWebsite.com, but BarryChalmers.com will get to you. DVDs, including the one just released with 124 radio shows from the year 2007, I'll give you a phone number, 904-501-7605. Now we're back to Tel Aviv, near the Shalom Tower. There's a little cafeteria, and I met Mayor Meshulam. He comes with a briefcase, and he just says outright, he didn't say outright, he led into it. The story was a little too difficult to just say outright, but what he said is that Orphocausa has had a long-term affair with Shimon Peres. And without Peres, she would never, ever have become famous. He used his power, and by the way, the recording industry is incredibly all tied up with politics. this is the time to discuss that complicated subject. But he made her Israel's famous singer. You can thank him for that. He, way back in 79, he saw her in her first movie. He used his powers to get to know her. And, well, lo and behold, the Nobel Prize, which Paris bribed, $100,000, was paid to the Nobel Committee, and we have a witness to that. His name was Christensen, who said that Paris just used Terje Larsen to pay them off, but Ofer Kasa sang at the ceremony. And then Mayer pulls out his briefcase and opens it up. And here's Ofer Kasa and Shimon Peres with the Queen of Sweden. Here's Ofer Kasa and Shimon Peres with Margaret Thatcher. Here's Ofer Kasa and Shimon Peres at the Vatican. Here's Ofer Kasa and Shimon Peres at the signing of the Oslo Peace Accord. Peace. Well, it was called that. I said, this is unbelievable. He was with her everywhere. This is what he was doing with a woman 35 years younger than him. And then, well, I knew that this can't be a coincidence. And then Mayer said the whole family knew that Ofer had this affair with Shimon Peres. A lot of the family thinks he raped her. He said, I don't think that. I think it was mind-screwing that he used his power over a poor girl from the slums, and he would take her to the Nobel Prize dinner, and he would introduce her to the Queen of Sweden, and then later, when they're in the room together, what's she going to say? No. That's what Mayer said, by the way. She's going to say no to him, the great Shimon Peres. He said Peres had a long-term affair with Ofer Kasa. And, by the way, this was not easy for me to listen to. And then he said outright, he said in 97, Ofer Kasa decided to use all her fame to break open the issue of the disappeared Yemenite children. And Mayer says it was, I don't believe, he said, Mayer said to me, that she knew that Paris was behind the disappearances. He said, I know that. He said, but I don't believe Ofer knew it. But I think she was trying to redeem herself. I think she was deeply ashamed of how she sold herself to the Shimon Peres. But Mayer told me, as soon as she made that movie, Peres went into action to wipe her out. You do not reveal the disappearance of the Yemenite children and live in Israel. Peres kills people. And then he said straight up, Doron Ashkenazi was the hitman. And I said to him, who was he working for? Shabak, Mossad? He said he was working for Peres, straight out. He was there to make sure she was dead. And when that movie came out, he said to me, it was chopped up. He said, I spoke to Ofer. She told me there were scenes when she named Peres as compatriots, including Yisrael Kassar. You don't have to know who that is. It was just a close compatriot of Peres. He said that name was rubbed out of the movie. He said, straightforward. That movie came out in 99. She was married to Ashkenazi. He was poisoning her. And then he reveals the big one. He said, Ofer Kasa's doctor, her name was Mimi Hatman, was a lover of Doron Ashkenazi. Mimi Hatman fed Ofer Kasa poison. He says, that's why Ofer Kasa slowly died. He said it was between Doron and this doctor, they killed her. And I was dumbfounded. And by the way, I'm not easily dumbfounded, but he had the documents and the pictures and the names. And he said, that's how the murder took place. He said, they might have infected her with AIDS, but the fact is they didn't have to. Now, the Israeli public was told that Ofer Kasa did not report or treat her AIDS because she thought she would disappoint her fans. And Mayer says to me, do you really believe that Ofer was so shallow that she would die rather than disappoint her fans? He says the spin they put on it was that Ofakaza let herself die of shame. He said, do you really know anyone prepared to die of shame voluntarily? He said, straight off, he said, Ashkenazi was there. But when Ashkenazi could not stand all the pressure put on him to take an AIDS test because he didn't have AIDS, he said that's when he was going to blow the lid off the whole murder of Ofakaza, and he had to be eliminated. He had to be wiped out. And he says that's when the murders started happening. There was a woman who, one way or another, kidnapped him, didn't kidnap him, but she injected him with the crystal meth enough to kill him. She said she was dead within a month. He said as soon as it got out of hand, they just killed the main participants. This is the murder of Ofakaza. This is coming straight from her cousin. And this is in my book, Shabbat Shvi Lever, Zionism of the Holocaust. They killed her because she was going to expose, number one, Shimon Peres, as the, well, he was the only one living by then of the main conspirators, but she was going to expose the labor Zionists, including David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann and Golda Meir for actively knowing that they were kidnapping children to get atomic secrets, to learn how to make the bomb. They simply demoralized the entire Yemenite community. It still isn't back together again.
All right, now I think the important thing is the fact that there was some sort of a deal between Peres, and who headed the Atomic Energy Commission in Israel, and the leaders over in America who wanted guinea pigs, human guinea pigs, and so the deal pretty well, as far as you can figure, was he would send them the children and they would get some atomic secrets. Is that how it worked?
Boy, they would get secrets to the bomb.
Right.
And by the way, this deal was part of something much wider, and we've discussed this, but I'll do it again if you want. Was the American Army sending 7 X-ray machines and massive doses of gamma rays put into the brains of 108,000 Sephardi children. They were doing vicious experiments all the Sephardi children. The Yemenites might have been taken to America, but the Moroccans, Iraqis, Algerians, whatever, in Israel, were subjected, supposedly because to cure their scalpel ringworm, were subjected to massive doses of gamma rays through their brains, an issue that in Israel is an ongoing, they're now adults who are crippled, and their children have these horrible diseases. It passes generations. Peres got his bomb, and the Sephardic children got crippled, and they got killed.
Well, it's an amazing, amazing story, but of course the thing is that all of these stories are thoroughly suppressed here in America. Fortunately, we have the Internet, and you can certainly look up on the Internet the ringworm children, the ringworm
children. Well, let's see the movie.
Right.
I've advertised that in my send-outs. I've given the address for anyone who wants to see that movie. I became quite close with David Dahan. He was the director of the movie, and he admired my work, especially on Rabin. And, well, if you want to know how cruel, again, the Israeli people were the victims, but that establishment in Israel look, I don't like to use the word Nazi experiments, but my Lord, this is really up there with them. And this is just an issue why Israel right now is going down the drain, because these people run the establishment of the country, including the army and the courts. But how much time do we have left?
We've got about 6 minutes now.
Well, let's go and do what happened in Israel this week.
Right.
Number one, Hamas is just bombing Sderot and Ashkelon, and they're leading to an attack on the Gaza Strip. something happened in Jerusalem 2 days ago. Jerusalem got officially divided. The suburb of Atarot was fenced in. Huge signs from the Israeli government banning Israelis from entering a suburb of Jerusalem called Atarot. It was now Palestinian territory. Now, can you imagine fighting a war where Israelis are now seriously dying and getting wounded, and at the same time rewarding them with a big chunk of Jerusalem? That's what happened. Just so you know, and even worse, 400 acres of Atarot are settled with Jewish families. Well, what are they going to be part of the PLO? This, by the way, there are many, many issues that happened this week, but this is proof positive that the government of Israel is dividing Jerusalem against the will of the people of Israel. Atarot is done. Now, let me tell you, well, you know what, let's go smooth and easy with a nice memory that I have of Atarot. Atarot is the site of the Jerusalem airport. Not that it's been used much. Ever since the Oslo so-called peace, it's been too dangerous to land a plane in Atarot, but it was the Jerusalem airport. And it's now in the hands, apparently, for good of the PLO.
Now, this is not the major airport there in Israel. This is just a local airport.
Well, it was international.
Sure.
It had long runways. Look, I'll tell you a little story that I like to tell. It's a nice story, but that's rough. A movie was made there called Ashanti. It was made in 77, I believe. It starred Michael Caine. I was a college student, and I made a little extra money being an extra. So I got on the bus, and we all us extras went to Atarot Airport. And between scenes, I noticed that Michael Caine looked very lonely. He was sitting by himself, and no one was talking to him. People, I guess, are very intimidated by this big star. The star of Alfie was right in their midst. And I said, the heck with it. I went up and talked to Michael Caine. And, well, originally he said it's a nice day, and he said it's a good place for a movie scene, Atarot Airport. He said it's a very quaint airport. And then finally I said to him, I said, a lot of people here think that your real name was Cohen. And I'm just wondering, are you Jewish? And Michael Caine nodded no. He said, I wouldn't mind being, but I'm not. And that was my little conversation with Michael Caine. Never thought of it until 2 days ago when Atarot was banned to Israeli citizens. This little memory came back of Atarot, my little memory of Atarot. It's now gone.
Well, I think it's so important that the American public understand that, I mean, the Israeli government is financing the Fatah terrorists under Abbas. And, of course, Abbas then is helping to fund Hamas, which is another terrorist organization. The United States is funding them all. In fact, a lot of the Hamas terrorists got their training from the United States and are getting funding from the United States directly or indirectly. And you have to ask yourself, why would we be funding the Palestinian terrorists at the same time we're funding Israel? It doesn't make sense any more than the fact that we're funding Egypt, which is in full production for war with Israel, and then we continue funding Israel. So until people can understand how the game is played, none of this makes sense.
How's the game played? No one can understand this. Mahmoud Abbas went on Jordan TV this week and said that we're not in a position to fight Israel, but eventually we'll get stronger and we will fight Israel. He went on Jordan TV and said that this week. And do you think he's being punished for this? Israeli TV showed it very satirically, that this peace partner, he's just waiting till he's strong enough to fight Israel. Look, there are no rules. American Jewish organizations think that by having a two-state solution, Israel's going to find peace. What are they, nuts? They really, really think that PLO and Hamas are going to just stop in their tracks and gather their little pieces together and have peace with Israel. They're going to try and bring down Israel. It's that simple. Hamas and the PLO work together. In the meantime, there's a strategic difference, but their goals are precisely the same, no different.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, and those of us who understand what's going on are considered by most people to be crazy, but we're not crazy. We are funding both sides in most battles, and when you understand that, things really begin to make sense. So anyway, we're out of time, Barry. Thank you so very much for being with us. We won't be talking to you probably next week, but we'll talk to you the week after that. And so if I don't call, don't think that you've been forgotten. God bless.
Oh, no, I will talk in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Barry Shamish. Fascinating source of information. And you have to understand that there really are evil and wicked people out there. They're poisoning us today. They're poisoning people in most of our communities with fluoride in the water. And that, since they're using hydrofluo salicylic acid, why, of course, that increases the lead levels in the blood. And if you go by race, why it increases the lead level in the blood of Negro children, of black children, 6 times, Hispanic children 4 times, Today in America, we have over 2,300,000 people in prison, and about almost 10% of the black population is in prison today. Why? Because lead leads to raids and criminal activity, and they know that. They're poisoning our black people. You have to understand there is an agenda. So it's AIDS. The disease of AIDS is primarily a disease of blacks. Almost half of the people in the United States who have AIDS have been black. Nobody's going to tell you that. That's why the disease is so much more prevalent in Africa, where, for instance, in Botswana, 46% of the women there, all black, 46% of the women who are pregnant are tested and found to be HIV positives. Understand that there is a racist agenda. There are evil and wicked people out there. You need, of course, to get my talks on None Dare Call It Genocide, my talk on planned population reduction, and my talk on population control. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a copy of my treatise on the population control agenda monograph. Another excellent source of information is Dr. David Ayoub's DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Control Agenda. Mercury Autism and Global Population Control Agenda, and that's, of course, you're going to get that. You get a CD-ROM, not only get the DVD, but a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of documentation on how they're poisoning our children with mercury. They know that. These are scientific studies, but, of course, the doctors don't have time to read all of this. That's why you've got to get the information. If you want to know how they're poisoning our boys over there in Iraq, or why almost a third of them are ill before they get within 3 months of the time they get home, why, of course, the DVD is beyond treason. And there's a CD-ROM there with thousands of pages of Army documentation on the toxicity of depleted uranium. And one more reason we're using it is to poison our soldiers so that there won't be anybody to fight for freedom when we finally come to that point. And then, of course, you need to get my material on water fluoridation. It's a syllabus and a talk on the hidden agenda. And in that syllabus, there's so much documentation. And you'll see the pages from Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, where he talks about the plan. And this is what he says. Diet, injections, and injunctions will be used to so alter the mind of the children that they'll never be able to bury in their thought what they've been taught by the schoolmaster. Now, what do you think they're going to put in the diet? What do you think they're going to put in the injections to control the mind of our children? They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. That's the hidden agenda. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We've got all sorts of material there on mercury. They're poisoning them with aspartame. You hear about all the pathological obesity. Oh, our children are so fat. It's the colonel's fault. It's McDonald's fault. It's the aspartame. It's the poison that Donald Rumsfeld had put into our food supply after the FDA had fought it for 15 years because they knew it was a poison and were poisoning our children with aspartame, NutraSweet. We're poisoning them with MSG. We're poisoning them with genetic foods, genetically modified foods. We're poisoning them with fluoride. We're poisoning them with mercury. Do you care? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get the DVD, None Dare Call It Genocide. Get the video, Population Control. Get the DVD, Plan Population Reduction, and get the DVD on Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. We'll be right back.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., in
including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And we're hoping today to have James Wardner, Dr. James Wardner, author of The Unholy Alliance, which we do carry. But if he doesn't come in, well, we'll be glad to have open lines and let you, of course, talk about what you'd like to talk about. Well, anyway, James is on the line right now. He'll be coming on with us. Dr. Wardner has written a couple of great books. First one is out of print, and that's The Planned Destruction of America, going into the Council on Foreign Relations. But his second book, Unholy Alliance, really goes into the background of the Masonic influence on every aspect of our society. And the Masons have infiltrated our courts. The Masons have infiltrated our government. The Masons have infiltrated our police force and our law enforcement and the military. And if you are a Mason, you are going to get promoted over somebody who is not a Mason. How can you have a free society when you have a court system where if you are a plaintiff suing somebody as a Mason, you're going to lose if the judge or anybody on the jury is a Mason? And yet there is this secret brotherhood with millions of members here in the United States, and most people really don't understand the implications of Masonry. Secret societies, of course, you cannot have in a free society. Why? Because, of course, people, if you are a Mason, you are sworn a blood oath in case of somebody being involved with treason or murder, and you're either an attorney or a judge or a juror, that person has to get off. How can that possibly be? Well, this is the way the game is played, and this is what James Wardner brings out in his book on Holy Alliances, and there's not that many more. There are only a few cases still in print, and we have access to them, and we offer them through our ministry here at Radio Liberty, and we have several four-tape sets on Masonry. We have a video on Masonry, and hopefully it'll soon be available on DVD. You need to understand the implications of having a secret society in this country. And one reason we're in as much trouble as we are today is because the Masons took over the United States Supreme Court and controlled it from 1941 until 1971 in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And if you don't believe that, you can go up on the Internet and type in Masonic Supreme Court justices and see when they served, and you'll find that that is absolutely true. And it's covered in a book we carry called Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher, and, of course, in James Wardner's wonderful book, Unholy Alliances. James, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Doc.
And, of course, we're just talking about the influence of Masonry on the court system in the United States. And although I don't believe there are any Masons on the Supreme Court today, they certainly did their best to destroy the Christian foundation of America, to change us from a Christian nation to a secular nation. And that, of course, is why we have almost 2.3 million people in prison today. 1.7 million Americans are either in prison, probation, or parole, as we've taken away the moral foundation of our society. And there's probably not one person in 1,000 to realize the implications of the Masonic movement in the United States. Would you agree?
Oh, it's... Yes, I would agree.
All right, fine. Well, you go ahead. You don't have to be bashful. Go ahead and just pick up the story. We're going to be back in just a moment here. In fact, we're actually going to be bringing some other stations on. We're going to lose a few of the listeners for 3 minutes, and then we'll be back here at Radio Liberty with James Warden. And we're going to bring out the truth that you're not going to hear on most radio programs, and certainly not from Rush Limbaugh or his friends. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. James Wardner, who's written 2 great books. One of them is out of print, The Planned Destruction of America, going into the background of the Council on Foreign Relations. But the second book, Unholy Alliances, we still have a couple of cases which James was good enough to send to us, and I think it's an important book, and really everyone needs to read it. Why do they need to read that book, James?
Well, I don't... think yet there is an awful lot written these days on a variety of subjects, but I don't think yet there's a book that's as all-inclusive regarding not only the political system but the church system, the occult system, and the Illuminati. All kind of put together in one book.
And of course, the Illuminati
covers the gamut.
The Illuminati was a very real organization, and the modern-day Masonry is simply an extension of that secret society that was created in 1776, May 1st, 1776, and it certainly has infiltrated the upper echelons of Masonry and, of course, taken it into Satanism, and that's really what it's all about. It's about the worship of Lucifer, the other God, the great architect of the universe, the eye you see on the back of the dollar bill. But they can't let the American people know that, can they?
Well, no. And another interesting part to all of this is that Albert Pike, in his book Morals and Dogma, refers to the yod, which is the dot, if you will, that's in the rule and compass of Freemasonry, which has been replaced by the G. And the G, to some people think that's God, which in no way does Albert Pike indicate that that's God. Number two, some people believe that it refers to Gnosticism with a rather capital G, which is going back all the way to the Manichaeans, which the our apostles and Christian forefathers fought. But actually, it stands for Lucifer, and that's what Albert Pike himself says that it stands for. So the G that you see in the rule and compass of Freemasonry is the symbol of Lucifer.
But of course, that is really what the message of Gnosticism is, that there was another God who was far more powerful than the God of the Christians. So, but of course, the great architect of the universe, who all Masons swear to worship, is not the God of the Bible. And so the question is, who is it? We'll be back in just a moment here with... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is James Wardner, and certainly we're talking about Masonry. And most people don't want to talk about Masonry. In fact, if you do, why, a lot of strange things begin to happen to you, because Masonry is not only a social organization and certainly a political organization. It is a spiritual organization. It is a religion. It is a way of life. And most Masons don't understand that when they swear their allegiance to the great architect of the universe, or they swear that they are dedicated to finding the light, they don't understand what that light is that they're searching for. So you pick up the story, James, because you helped me, and your books helped me so much to begin to understand the forces working behind the scenes.
Well, when I first wrote The Planned Destruction of America, I didn't include anything about Freemasonry in that book because I felt like I had plenty enough in there, and to bring this other issue in would be to give people, to throw something out there that would give them a question that would be unanswered, and I felt like I didn't want any unanswered questions in The Planned Destruction of America. So this issue of Freemasonry, which kept coming up as I studied the variety of organizations that we talk about in the Planned Destruction of America, I saved for Unholy Alliances. And a number of people have done certain investigations on the secret societies at this point in time, and they start off with a certain amount of doubt. And then as they do their investigation, in some cases, speaking of the light kind of goes on. The problem that we have here is that people have lost their bearing because there's little or no real truth out there. And if you go back to like the early 1735, 1738, the Pope of the Catholic Church, going back 300 years now, were anti-Mason, anti-Masonic. And as a matter of fact, in the mid-1800s, there was an anti-Masonic party in the United States. And there is no anti-Masonic party in the United States anymore. And there hasn't been an anti-Masonic party for 150 years in this country. The interesting part about our political system is that for all of Rush Limbaugh and all of the talking heads of the media who purport that we really have an option in our political system if we vote for a Republican or we vote for a Democrat, both parties, in fact, are Masonic. And the Republican Party was created by the Masons. And the anti-Masonic party of the 1800s knew this. They knew that Pennsylvania was totally infiltrated with Freemasons, and that Freemasons were running that state. And New York had done an investigation on Freemasonry, and they had found out that in New York, Freemasonry was running that state. And as you begin to study this subject, you find out that over these period of years, all of the governors of the United States are Freemasons, all of the congressmen of the United States are Freemasons. To a man, every single solitary judge in this country is a Mason. It's like it's a prerequisite to be a judge.
Well, now, don't you think that there are a few that are not?
Well, you'd have to show me and prove to me who's not, because virtually you can say that everyone is. And the same is true of all of the leading evangelists in this country, from Oral Roberts to the Crystal Cathedral. All of them are Freemasons as well.
Well, of course, Billy Graham always denied he was a Freemason.
Billy Graham
there
is
some people
degree
that
Freemason. Pat Robertson is a Freemason. Oral Roberts is a Freemason. Almost every single person that you can think of is a Freemason. And it sounds like, you know, I've had, you know, Freemason nectar. But if anybody would like to disagree with this, they need to prove that these individuals are not Freemasons, because, in fact, in our society today, anyone who got anywhere at any point in time, going up the business ladder or up the political ladder, even into Hollywood, they're all Freemasons. You know, there's a lot of talk, Stan, about the Muslim religions. The religion of Muhammad, and the Scottish Rite Freemasons take their oath not on the Bible, but on the Quran.
And I think really that's really very true. When you go to join the Scottish Rite, and of course you've seen them with this little red cap with that flat top on it, the so-called fez,
right.
And that of course is an anti-Christian symbol having to do with the fact that when the Muslims slaughtered the Christians in a North African city, they dipped their caps into the blood of the Christians, and they turned red, and that's why the fez is always red. But the average Scottish Rite Mason doesn't understand anything about it, and doesn't understand the significance of the fact that they swear to Allah. They actually swear to Allah when they join the Scottish Rite organization. And that most of them think it's just a social organization, but of course, once you have sworn an oath, which we're told not to do in the Bible, this changes your entire perspective.
Well, yes, exactly true. And when you're swearing oaths to demon gods, you're taking upon yourself an oath to a demon god. It is what it is. And Freemasonry is the religion of our time. As I said before, it's been condemned for 300 years by the Catholic Church, partially because they knew that what this organization had as its intent was to infiltrate state, meaning our various countries of the world, and to infiltrate the church. And in fact, they have done exactly that. If you wonder why the New World Order can be the New World Order, it's on the scaffolding of Freemasonry.
Well, of course, the thing is that there are a number of other occult organizations out there that overlap with Freemasonry. In other words, certainly we have the Lucis Trust, we have the Theosophists, we have the Rosicrucians, we have the remnants of the Templar, although there is within Freemasonry one of the various levels of Freemasonry that deals with both Rosicrucianism and the Knights Templar. But do you think that the average Mason who enters the craft really understands the spiritual implications of the order that he's joined?
Albert Pike says in his book Morals and Dogma that it's the intention of the leadership of Freemasonry to deceive the lower level Freemason. So the lower level Freemason is deceived. He's purposely deceived. But then again, why would you want to join an organization where they're purposely deceiving you?
Well, of course, they really don't know that. They've never read, most of them have ever read Morals and Dogma. I think that maybe that's why they stopped passing it out. It used to be passed out.
Yeah, that's right.
Every Mason who reached, I forgot what level it was, but up until 1974, and some of them read it, most of them didn't. Most of them did not read where Pike actually says the purpose is to deceive the people of the lower level because they're not worthy of knowing the truth. Only the princes in the depths of Masonry are really entitled to know the real message of Masonry. And that's, of course, where the power is as you begin, of course, coming in contact with the Luciferian and supernatural forces which they worship.
You know, in the First Oath, and the Masonic Oaths are in this book, Unholy Alliances, in the First Degree and in the Second Degree, part of the oath states, "To all of which I do most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear, without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind in me whatever." Basically, that's an individual who's saying that he's making this oath with no guard and with no protection. He's making this oath and taking upon himself his eternal destiny with no regard to anything else. That's a very frightening thing, I think, when you take on an oath like that.
Well, of course, they don't know what the oath is going to be. They're taken into this room and they roll up one pants leg and open up their chest so it can be, they have no protection for their heart, and they put a noose around their neck and blindfold them and then they tell them to just go ahead and repeat the oath. And I think most of them are sort of awed and go along with it without ever stopping to realize the implications of what they're saying. Would you agree?
It's true. And I think that it's a sad state of affairs in that probably most Masons never come to grips with what they've done. And most of them, almost the majority, I would guess, don't ever understand that all they really are is window dressing for an inner group of Masons who truly run the organization, truly are working toward a conspiracy that is worldwide, the New World Order, a one world bank, a one world religion, and a one world government. But the people who truly run Freemasonry, they're very, very, very well aware of what they're doing. They have no misconceptions about what they're doing. And the individuals who are, for example, our congressmen and our senators who are Freemasons, which is virtually all, they do know. They know what they're doing. They know that they've destroyed the Constitution of the United States. They know that they've destroyed the middle class and are in the actual act of doing that. They know that they're abiding by the game plan of George Bush and the ruling class. They know. and therefore they're guilty of what they know.
Oh, I think that the elite do know. In fact, certainly there's a wonderful book. It's written by Manly P. Hall called Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, in which he talks about Masonry. Now, he was the leading Masonic philosopher, you know, of the last century. And, of course, he wrote, he said, you know, Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity of men who like to go to the meetings and do good. But there's an inner fraternity of people who study the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, and they understand what Masonry is really all about. And of course, he was part of the inner fraternity. He was Masonry's greatest philosopher of all time. What do you go right ahead there, Jim?
I was going to. I thought you were coming to a break, but what I was thinking when you were finishing with that was, and Manly P. Hall was also a devoted Satanist. So there you have that. I think that if people could understand that, and you know, it's I went to get my hair cut the other day, and it was interesting. Had an interesting conversation with this gal who you might think didn't know anything about anything, but she was actually quite well versed. She knew a lot of what was going on. She didn't necessarily know where it was coming from. But I think many of the people in the United States of America are becoming aware that this country is on a fast track in a bad direction. And for all of the debates, if you will, that are going on television, not much is going to change, and there's not much hope for whoever we vote for.
Well, I think it's really very interesting that there is an article that came out recently, or maybe about 2 weeks ago, that the Smithsonian Institute is putting up an exhibit that's going to travel the entire country to tell people about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, about the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, and all the 13s and all the various symbology that's there, and to assure them that that the pyramid and the all-seeing eye, the glorified eye on the back of the dollar bill, that's really an American symbol, has nothing to do with the Illuminati or Masonry. And, of course, even Condoleezza Rice has come out and to assure the American people that there is no conspiracy and the emblems on the back of the dollar bill are not part of a conspiracy. And yet I think that more and more people, having seen some of the recent movies that have come out and perhaps heard programs on that you've been on or that I've been on, are beginning to understand that they're simply frightened to death. And I'm talking about the establishment, frightened to death that the American people may understand that the emblems on the back of the dollar bill are frankly satanic. And that, I think, is the message we need to get out. And they cannot undo history. The triangle with the glorified eye in it has been around for 5,000 years, a symbol of the ancient mystery religions. And this is something should be, one time was known to every American. And, of course, it's been systematically removed from the lexicon, from the awareness of the American people by those people who would control the world.
The book on Holy Alliances deals with many of those things. And there was a recent author who wrote a book, and I just happened to pick it up at Barnes & Noble, and I was actually shocked that there was a book of this title. It's called The Secret Society's Handbook. I just happen to have it with me here. This is an author who... He started off doing some research. He has a couple of pages of introduction here. And he starts off by saying that he got into this just to kind of get a gander at what might be going on. And after he did his research, he just says, I won't reread what he wrote, but he says how wrong I was. In other words, it leapt off the page or pages of his research in him that his, if you will, mockery of the kinds of things that we're talking about here, Dr. Monteith, it was not correct. That, in fact, it is correct. And you mentioned many organizations earlier, like Theosophy and others. And, you know, if you track all of those organizations back, you end up right back in Freemasonry. You know.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with James Wardner. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Wardner. And, of course, he was just mentioning he recently saw a book in Barnes & Noble's The Secret Society's Handbook. written by a fellow who I thought he'd do some research on these secret societies and sort of prove that they really were true. And as he did the research, he suddenly came to realize that the secret societies are real. And they're having a devastating effect on our society today. And James simply was referring to the fact that if you study the secret societies that exist today, that the Osiris and the Rosicrucians and others, that they all tie back into Masonry, or at least the root organization from which Masonry came. And, of course, that is really very, very true. These secret societies have been around for thousands of years, manifested today, in Masonry, but they've been around for long before Masonry was established, I think it's 1717. But Masonry is simply a modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. Would you agree or disagree with that, James?
I would agree. I would agree. The concept of Freemasonry is to fight the order set up in society by our Lord Jesus Christ. From that order that was developed came from the Old Testament, if you will, the Ten Commandments, and a certain way of living, a certain sense of truth, a certain sense of righteousness, a certain expectation of how people would live and what you could expect from someone, a certain sense of right and wrong. It developed children with a concept of right and wrong, and children with a conscience. And now, because of Freemasonry, the schools have deleted everything that could lead a child to have any understanding of what's right or wrong. They have neutered everything. They're passing out condoms. They're telling people that homosexuality is acceptable and lesbianism is acceptable. They have the children reading books on witchcraft. And this is diabolical, and it's antichrist. And I think if there could be a word of the time that Freemasonry espouses, it is antichrist. Because I don't know if anybody really gets Lucifer and who Lucifer is, but they might catch on to antichrist. You either got him or you don't have him. Either the Lord is the Lord or he isn't the Lord. And so what they purport is that there is no Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. And by doing so, they take the commandments out of the courtroom, they take righteousness away from the children, and get this, Stan, in the United States, and in Great Britain, and in Australia, and in Canada, there is another conspiracy going on. And you and I have talked about this off the air. It's a conspiracy against fatherhood. Because, again, interestingly enough, I read an encyclical by Pope Leo XIII recently, who talks about Freemasonry and what its effect will be on society and what its effect will be on the church. And he mentions that since there is going to be divisiveness, as he read that it would be, he said, what's coming is going to be the worst kind of divisiveness, inflicting cruel outrage on the parents. And he says, referring to the parents, I'm quoting, these hold from nature their right of training the children to whom they have given birth, with the obligation superadded of shaping and directing the education of their little ones to the end for which God vouchsafed the privilege of transmitting the gift of life. It is then incumbent, I wanted to make this point, if I might, with you, on parents to strain every nerve to ward off such an outrage and to strive manfully to have and to hold exclusive authority to direct the education of their offspring. As is fitting, I apologize, just a little bit longer, in a Christian manner, and first and foremost, I'm quoting, to keep them away from schools where there is risk of their drinking in the poison of impiety. Where the right education of youth is concerned, no amount of trouble or labor can be undertaken, how great soever. And he wrote that in the late 1800s, and did they not respond, the powers that be, with removing a father, the father of the family, from almost 80% of the homes of this country and all of the modern countries of the world?
Well, of course, about half of our marriages end in divorce, and certainly in the black family. Almost 75% of children are married without a father in the house. About 35% of white families are raised without a family and a father in the house. How did it happen? Not by accident. Well, Dr. Stan here, and of course, James is pointing out that the Catholic Pope many years ago warned against this effort to destroy the family, and they're doing such a good job of it today. People don't understand that this is not happening by accident, it's happening by intent. There really are people who want to destroy the family, but not only that, but they want to destroy the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children. And certainly if you go back, 50 years ago, when, of course, the black family, was discriminated against, and there really was organized discrimination in the South, not in the North, but in the South. But at least the black family was a nuclear family. It's not a nuclear family today. 75% of black children are raised without a father. So understand that there's an organized effort in both the white and the black to destroy the family, and, of course, 50% of our marriages end in divorce, and we have a higher percent of divorce among the so-called Christian element than in the general society. And that's probably because the general society is not getting married and the Christians are, but that speaks very, very poorly of the influence of the modern-day church on society, doesn't it, James?
Well, in the book on Unholy Alliances, I have a section on the secret counter-church, which, again, is run by Freemasons. I also have a section on the schools. I have a quote from a fellow named Willard Givens, who was the executive secretary of the NEA in 1935. He was there for 17 years. He said that the major function of the school is the social orientation of the individual. You see, 1935 is a long time ago, and here we have the head of the NEA, a Mason, 33rd degree, who understood that the process that the children are in is a process of turning them into, or I should say, orienting them toward a certain type of being. This is nothing less than social engineering, which is communism. And there's a tremendous tie between Freemasonry and communism. These children are being worked into being world citizens. They're being prepared for the New World Order. And the heads of the NEA are very well aware of that. In my book, page 74, Unholy Alliances, Dr. James Carter said that the Lodge is the missionary of the New Order.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here with James Wardner. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course people do not understand that the purpose of modern-day Masonry was to transform society, to bring them into the worship of the great architect of the universe, and to destroy Christianity and Christian belief. And although they may have a Bible, in the Masonic Lodge, you're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ in the vast majority of the lodges. And because this is basically an anti-Christian belief. Now, of course, in the Muslim countries, where, of course, they have the lodges of the Masonry, of course, they have the Quran there. And in other countries where they have a state religion, why, they have the official religion of that nation. And you have to understand that what their real goal is to do away with Christianity and have a universal religion. And, of course, a one world order, a one world religion, a one world ruler. And that has been the purpose of the secret societies going back to the days of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. So you pick up the story there, James.
I just wanted to mention that Harry Truman, who was a man that many people respected, was a 33rd degree Freemason. He was a member of the Shrine, so he took his oath on the Koran. He had a report of the President's Commission on Higher Education, and that report was released in December 1947. And the report stated, quote, "There is urgent need for a program of education for world citizenship that can be made a part of every person's general education. It will take social science and social engineering to solve the problems of human relations. The competitive principle must give place to the principle of cooperation. East and West are coming together in one world order. We could not stem this development," he said in 1947, "if we wanted to." And that was the President of the United States of America saying in 1947 that there is a move to a new world order. It's being promoted by Freemasonry and pretty much developed by Freemasonry. And I am, he is saying, a 33rd degree Freemason. And not only am I in conjunction with this movement, but we couldn't stop it if we wanted to.
I think what's so important for people to understand is that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a 32nd degree Mason, and Harry Truman, a 33rd degree Mason, packed the Supreme Court with Masonic Supreme Court justices.
Right.
And it was those Supreme Court justices put in there by FDR and Harry Truman that took God and prayer out of our schools. There was no basis at all in law for that. But you see, they were part of this Masonic conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy, to destroy the Christian foundation of America and convert us into a secular society that worships the great architect of the universe. And you say, well, how could it be secular if it's going to worship the great architect? And yet, that's exactly what's going on today. And, of course, it's been said that those who have turned away from God, you know, it's not that they worship nothing, they will worship anything. And recently, within the last 2 weeks, an article came out saying that about 40% of the people who were raised as Christians have turned against Christianity and taken on other religions. And, of course, most of this is this religion of this new spirituality, the New Age, the occult. And that, of course, is all an offspring of this Masonic movement, the worship of the other God. So go ahead, James.
Sad to say that after World War II, most of the primary members of our Army, our Navy, our Marines were all Masons as well. The courts were filled with Freemasons. The, like I said, our politicians are Freemasons. And the church leaders were Freemasons. So it's like, oh, okay, we found Bill Clinton, or we found this individual, and he's been doing something wrong, so we're going to have an independent study and see what they did wrong, and then we're going to punish that individual if we find that there's been any wrongdoing. It's impossible. It's impossible, because what you have is Freemasons investigating Freemasons, and they've all taken oaths to the order of Freemasonry, whether that individual is right or wrong, or even up to and including murder. There's no winning this game, because there is no independent counsel on the face of this earth who wouldn't turn their back on an investigation that had any true meaning. And any government that is not completely Masonically influenced, if the leader of that country hasn't already been assassinated, then the leader of that country and that country's government will be subverted. So we're already in Iraq. We're going into Iran. The banks here in the United States have confiscated the Chavez, the leader of Venezuela's country. And Cuba, now with Castro out, is going to the United Nations and joining up, if you will, for the new world order as well, because they know, they see what's going on. There is no argument between the leadership of these nations, the major nations of the world, what's going to happen is there's going to be a new world order, and it's Antichrist. It is completely Antichrist. And this is exactly what Freemasonry wants. Now, I want to add that for the Catholics that are out there, of which I am one, the Catholic Church is completely infiltrated as well. The cardinals are Freemasons, the bishops are Freemasons, and that's why you have all this wacko pedophilia and homosexuality and all this craziness in the Catholic Church. And I don't have the document with me in front of me here tonight that where I can actually give the name and the organization of Freemasonry that they're in, but that is available. And there is nothing left of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. That's why the Catholic Church today reaches out to, like John Paul II in Assisi, all of the major religions of the world. He had everybody there. He had the Indians there. He had the atheists there. He had the communists there. He had the Theosophians there. He had everybody there for a prayer day. But to what God are they praying? What a mockery if your Lord is truly Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spit upon that prayer. That was ridiculous. And yet Catholics want to make this man a saint? It's unbelievable.
Well,
that's what's going on.
I think, of course, we find our own president telling us that we all pray to the same God. The Muslims pray to the same God as the Christians. And how anybody could think that Allah, who is, of course, the moon god, is the god of the Bible. You know, I think that we've got people in key positions in government who have no idea what's going on today, and maybe that's why they're making so many mistakes.
The new International Economic Order was the United Nations report, and it was a spiritual imperative. This is on page 214 of Unholy Alliances, and a new understanding of spirituality is emerging, which recognizes that all efforts to uplift humanity are spiritual in nature. Now, Alice Bailey, a Luciferian, says, that is spiritual which lies beyond the point of present achievement. It is that which embodies the vision and which urges man on toward a higher goal than the one attained. You know, we have all this talk today about getting to the next level. Well, that's spiritual. If you're going to get to the next level in business, you're getting more spiritual. If you're going to get to the next level of design, that's spiritual. That's what's become of spirituality today. That's what's become of faith today. And what this truly is, it's the destruction of the old world order leading to chaos. It's complete chaos, and it's what any man wants to do. I've indicated, right or wrong, I suppose, to some people lately that we're not living in an immoral society, we're living in an amoral society. Morality is given no thought at all. It's not that I'm good or it's not that I'm bad. It's like, you mean to tell me that morality exists? You got to be kidding me.
Well, I think that when you stop and realize that there's 7 million Americans in prison, probation, and parole, 2.3 million Americans in prison, how did they get there? There had to be something, you know, wrong as far as their outlook. And people don't understand that liberty is dependent upon virtue, and virtue is dependent upon Christianity. You take Christianity away and you lose virtue, and then eventually you lose freedom. And you end up with a nation with 7 million Americans in prison, probation, and parole. And this is a direct result of taking God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and the infiltration of both the Catholic and the Protestant Church by people who have a different agenda and worship a different God. And, of course, when we find that we have a man like Ted Haggard, who led the National Association of Evangelicals with 30 million church members who belong to the National Association of Evangelicals, is it little wonder, of course, that that we are in real trouble today. He would not have been in that position had it not been that there were people at every level of the National Association of Evangelicals who were just as corrupt as Ted Haggard, because that's where they could do the most harm, working within the church. And that's why they're changing the music and the message of our church throughout America, indeed throughout the world. Go ahead, James.
Page 221 under Education, in my chapter on the New Age, I quote a man named John Dumphy. He wrote an essay called A Religion for the New Age. Quote, I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith.
Proselytizers is to sort of steal or take over them and bring them into your position, right?
Exactly. Proselytizers of a new faith. This is a new kind of evangelism. A religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. He goes on to say, the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith, resplendent in its promise. That ought to make people sick. It should make them angry. It should make them upset. It should disgust them. Because here it is. Here are these individuals, just like I wrote in The Plan Destruction of America. Zbigniew Brzezinski said, we're going to destroy America. Well, you know, you got to understand, it's all for the benefit of what we want to do. And we're going to control the media. We're going to control the books that are written. We're going to control the education. Because, well, you all have to understand, you know, you people out there have really no meaning to the rest of us who are basically running the show.
And of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski, well, he is the man who is the foreign policy advisor to Barack Obama. And of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski formed the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller, and Brzezinski is the representative to the Democrat Party. Henry Kissinger is the representative of the Republican Party, and there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. They're all in this together.
They're all in it together, and, you know, to be honest, Dr. Monteith, I didn't know that. And if that's a fact...
That is a fact.
I believe you, because you've never told a lie.
Never intentionally, that's for sure.
That's a sad state of affairs, because we know that Hillary is a Marxist, and we know that Bill is a Marxist. And so, again, everything I've said previous is true. There is no difference at all with these people. I'm sure whoever the president's going to be is already in the fix. And we're going to get the New World Order, whether we want it or not. And if I could say anything to parents, it would simply be, especially fathers, don't put your tail between your legs. Don't run off on your children. Don't leave them stranded with a mother alone, and nothing against mothers, but fight for your children. Fight for your kids. Fight to get them out of the public school system. Fight to be there for them. Fight to educate them. I don't give a damn if you've got to go in pro se to the courtroom without an attorney, if you don't have a pot to what in or something to throw it out. People today have to fight, Dr. Monteith, for the little bit that they have left, which is basically nothing. But if they want to save their own children, even if that's all they can preserve, which it might be because their homes now are being taken from them, and that was all part of the plan as well, nothing happened there by accident, they need to step out and fight on every front. And I can't make it firm enough, because you're going to lose your children. And I know numbers of men who now are in their 50s and their 60s, and their children won't even talk to them anymore. They want nothing to do with them. They see them as being right-wing lunatics or people who wouldn't be a part of their lives. And this is wrong. It's wrong from a father's standpoint, and it's definitely wrong from the children's standpoint as well. But with the nuclear family, and like I said, Pope Leo saw this. He was 1878, 1903, Pope of the Catholic Church. He said, we're going to see divisiveness. The Freemasons are in all of the systems trying to destroy every single thing that can be destroyed. So the nuclear family is critically important. And the parents have to do everything in their power to bring up and educate their children in Christianity. And now, not even the dads are around, and in many cases, they just go off, find some new woman, marry her, start a new family. But you know what? That's not right. They have to stand in the gap, no matter what. Because, essentially, that may be all that's left, is what one individual can do for one other person. That maybe a daughter, maybe a son, maybe a sister, maybe a brother, maybe a father, maybe a mother. But it's a little that we can do, but we have to fight for the little that we have left that we can control.
Well, of course, the family in America is under attack today. It's not happening by accident.
No.
Any more than the infiltration of the Catholic Church hierarchy, the infiltration of the Protestant hierarchy, and people working in our seminaries undermining the very tenets of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble today because many, many people have lost sight of what Christianity is about. They've changed the message, they've changed the music, they've changed the teaching, the thrust of Christianity, and then we wonder why we're in the mess we are today. We'll be right back to wrap up the program. Well, James, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, Dr. Monteith, first of all, let me say thank you for allowing me to be on your show again. I sure appreciate you as a person, and I hope your listeners appreciate the effort and the skill with which you do your show. I'd like to encourage people, because I can't say in 3 minutes what's written in Unholy Alliances, but I can tell you that a lot of people liked the planned destruction of America, and very few people could find, I don't think anybody ever found anything in there that wasn't accurate. And I believe that Unholy Alliances may be a better book than planned destruction of America, because it goes deeper, and it goes into, really, I think, the fabrication of what has created this new world order. You know, we know it's the Council on Foreign Relations. We know we have the Trilateral Commission. We know we have the Bilderbergers. We know we have these various groups, but, you know, there's 3,000 here, and there's a couple thousand there, and one time. These kinds of numbers would not allow a government, if you will, to take over the entire world. So how is it possible that, for example, now George Bush is in Africa and pandering with the Africans and acting like he's going to be doing something good for Africa, when in essence what they're attempting to do is to work with the African countries to put all of their militaries under the Department of Defense? It's shocking, really, when you consider what's happening, that Canada and the United States and Mexico are going to be one country, and those three that will become one country are going to have a new currency, like the euro is going to be the euro. And this all, how is this all happening in all of the countries of the world? Well, the answer is, it's happening through the machinations of the occult, and the occult and its religion is Freemasonry. And I think Unholy Alliances gets into it on many different levels, and I don't like to say that I'm proud of anything, but I've been told that this is a very good book and would really help people understand our present times. If it would do that for your readers, I would be more than happy that it did.
Well, of course, James, I think it's a very good book, and this is one reason we've carried the book for many years, and one reason, of course, we appreciate so much the fact that you gave us the last couple of cases of the book, and, well, of course, when they're gone, we'll just have to see what we can do to try to keep it in print. I think it's a very, very important book. So I want to thank you so very much for being with us and for your faithful support through the years. We'll talk to you later. Talk to you Monday.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. That was, of course, James Wardner. And at one time, of course, the majority of the people within the legal profession were Masons. And, of course, James has a book, 10,000 Famous Freemasons. And you go into that, you find out so many of the key people in key positions were Masons. That's really not quite as true today as it was in the past. And actually, there are no Masons on the Supreme Court at the present time. But, of course, what the Masons have done is to destroy the religious foundation of our nation. So many of the people may not be Masons, but they will be into one or another form of occult worship, or they're following the teachings of Rhonda Byrne's, who featured by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King, and that is the belief that we are God, that all is one, that through meditation we can get whatever we want to. And, of course, that's the devil's own message out there. You have to understand so much of what's going on. Well, we do carry the book Unholy Alliances. We've recommended. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on Masonry. We have a couple of them. We have a video on Masonry. It's called Masonry, Friend or Foe. And then, of course, I have my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness to show you how all of these organizations fit together. And then my talk on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret. For some excellent, very highly professional DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings by our good friend Chris Pinto, and then the sequel to that, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And you find out that if you go there and you look at so much of the statues and the pictures there, they tell about the occult influence in Washington, D.C. There were two influences. One was the Christian, and the other was the occult. And people don't understand that they have been in competition since America was founded, but unfortunately, our religious organizations and the very structure of our society has been infiltrated by the occult. And these occult organizations are not imaginary. They're really very real, and that's why you need to get the syllabus. It goes with my talk on the Forbidden Secret, because it contains George Bush's speeches. And if you read them very carefully, as he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. And he doesn't use the phrase once, but several times, or at least twice in his first inaugural address. And have you ever wondered who the angel is who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm? Well, you'll certainly want to get our material. And it's called The Forbidden Secret, and it comes with a syllabus that contains the speeches that we've been given and so much other material that will introduce you to the occult influence that exists in America today. And, of course, we have to recognize this. We have to realize we're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Let me suggest another couple of DVDs which we've produced. One of them is called The Emergence by Constance Cumby, and we do have a 4-tape set of my interviews with her. And the other is a DVD called The Atlantis Connection. It's done by Chris Pinto, who put out The Secret Mysteries and the Riddles in Stone DVDs. And he explains to you that this all has to do with lost Atlantis and those people who believe that America has become the new Atlantis and would lead the world into the new world order, the new world religion, with a new world leader who, of course, is the Antichrist. Understand that this is what it's all about. Why do you really think that we're still fighting in Iraq today? I mean, almost six years since the September 11th attack, why are we still fighting there? Why are we still fighting in Afghanistan? We went there to capture Osama bin Laden. We let him get away. So why are we still there fighting in Afghanistan when we funded the Taliban right up into the very day of the September 11th attack? Well, of course, you need to get my material on Foreknowledge 911, Parts 1, 2, and 3, and then, of course, the true story of 911. They're pamphlets, but tremendous information you'll never read anywhere else. The true story of 911, one pamphlet. Foreknowledge 911, three pamphlets. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get more information, like a free catalog, 1-800-544-8927.